recognize people who do the work without the office, without the recognition. So let's look, first of all, at the diligence of ministers. You look at verse 15. Paul says, I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Now, folks, let's examine this just a little bit. Paul says this entire household has addicted themselves to the ministry. Now, I have some Presbyterian friends, and they advocate the baptism of babies. And they say that when Paul baptized the household of Stephanias, he baptized all their babies. How many of you that have raised small children found them addicted to ministry? Anybody? 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 I kind of feel like that teacher on Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Anyone? 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 Anybody have a child that's addicted to ministry? I've never found a child that ministered to anybody. Children need our ministry. That's why we have parental oversight of them. We have to be careful what they put in their mouth. We have to be careful what their toys are. We have to be careful where they go. We put little things and plug-ins on walls so they don't stick their hand in it. So what would it be like if an entire family addicted itself to ministry? What does it mean to addicted yourself? It means that they are fully engrossed in ministering to the church. Think about this for just a moment. Paul says these people are addicted to ministry. That's all they want to do is minister. Folks, if that ain't diligence in the ministry, I don't know what is. Diligence in the ministry, a diligent minister, is something that ought to be recognized by the church. You know why it ought to be recognized? Because not every minister is addicted to the ministry. A lot of them aren't. A lot of them don't want to be in the ministry. They're addicted to golf. They're addicted to fishing. They're addicted to all these other things. They're not addicted to serving the Lord. They're not addicted to ministering to the church. The diligence of a minister, when one sees it, he ought to recognize it. Look at how Paul worded that in verse 15. Ye know the household. You know it. You know it. When someone is actively serving the church, you ought to know about it. You should know about it, not because the pastor says, I'd like to direct your attention to Brother So-and-so over here. You should know about it because Brother So-and-so is constantly taking care of things. And if Brother So-and-so has grown children like Stephanas did, his whole family is serving in areas in the church. They're all committed. They're all working. They're all serving. That diligence ought to be recognized. Can I tell you something else? The lack of diligence ought to be noticeable as well. Folks, if you ever sit under a lazy pastor, if you ever sit under a lazy minister, you ought to deal with them. You ought to deal with them. I don't mean deal with them and like, let's make a deal. I mean address the problem. You ought to address the problem. To sit back and say, well, he's the pastor and he just wants to fish and play golf all the time. He doesn't want to do what God called him to do. Church, you have responsibility to deal with that person. Call them out, to point it out, to gently rebuke them. Why? That's what Christians do. We call each other to repentance. I spend all my time in the bass boat, spend all my time in the deer stand. I don't preach God's word anymore. I don't prepare. And I don't minister to you. I don't do the things that's required of a pastor. Shame on you if you don't get in my face about it. Shame on you if you don't bring it to my attention and point it out. Shame on you if you allow me to go on that way. You know why? I have the same obligation toward you. You're living a life of sin and debauchery, common knowledge, and everybody knows about it. Church's obligation is to go to you personally and point it out. Ask you to stop. Repent. Where'd you get that at, preacher? Matthew chapter 18, 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Responsibility not just of the church to individuals. It's the responsibility of the church to a minister. Diligence of ministers is something that ought to be obvious, and when it's available and when it's recognizable and when you see it, you ought to be mindful of that and support it, whether it's the pastor or the person that cleans or the person that mows or the person that writes checks or the person that leads singing or the person that does stuff that nobody knows about. Comes down, takes inventory of what's in the pantry and makes sure we got plenty of paper cups and paper plates. Somebody's doing that, and you don't ever run out of it, and you don't ever have to worry about if we have enough forks, knives, and spoons. You ought to say, well, these things don't grow on trees. They don't just pop up in our pantry. Somebody goes to the store and gets them. Make sure we have them. That ought to be something that doesn't have to be pointed out. It ought to be something that you recognize. The diligence of a minister. Look at verse 16. Direction from a minister. When we're mindful of ministers, we need to understand what their role is. The role of a minister, whether he's an ordained preacher, whether he's a deacon, whether he's somebody in the church fulfilling some specific task, all of these people are able to give directions. Look, verse 16, that ye submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. Preacher, you going to talk about submitting to preacher? Yeah, I am. You know why? A diligent minister that's doing his job ain't going to ask you to do anything you ain't supposed to be doing. Look at verse 16. Submit yourselves unto such. Unto who? Unto people like Stephanas. Unto people like Stephanas. What was Stephanas doing? He devoted himself to serving the church. You know what I found Baptists do to people that spend all their time working at the church? You know what Baptist way is? I don't want to get in their way. They might stop. I'm going to back up and watch them go. Oh, they like working in the nursery. Let them work three times a week. Just let them go. I'm going to back up and let them take charge of it. I don't want to get in their way. They're doing it all. You ought to recognize their diligence. But you know what you ought to be willing to do? Help them do what they're doing. And if you're getting in their way, maybe you do need to step back. Maybe you do need to step back. You know what you need to recognize? That they are doing this. And if you can help them in some way, great. But you've got to help them, not be the boss of them. I'm good at giving orders. Not good at taking them. Boy, I love giving them. How about you? Some of you lied. Some of you were honest. Yes. If someone is currently in the position of a minister, whether it's the pastor, whether it's a deacon, and they need your help, give it. If they need you to get out of their way, get out of their way. That's what it means. Submit here doesn't mean that you cower down to him. It doesn't mean you're Catholic and you kiss the Pope's ring when he comes by or the Father's ring. I was watching old family videos of my mom's family at a reunion. And they were all out in front of Christ the King Church over there in Fort Smith where they all went to school and the Catholic Church. And these are old, you know, like 8mm movies. You know, they'd put them on a DVD and I was watching them. And they were all in their Sunday best clothes. And this dude comes out in a big nightgown with a tall hat on. And all my mom's brothers and sisters and her and my grandma and grandpa are all leaning over kissing this guy's ring. Like, what in the world's going on here? Well, it's, Catholics are not like us. They're different. They're different. I could be glad to tell you my feelings after church if you want to discuss it further and I give you biblical evidence. That's not what it means to submit to ministers. You bend over and kiss their ring when they come by. It's not that you do whatever they tell you to do. The Bible tells us to test the spirits and see whether they be of God. Just because somebody walks around with the title preacher doesn't mean anything. Benny Hinn has that title. Kenneth Copeland has that title. His wife has that title. Just because someone says, I'm the preacher, I'm the minister, that don't mean nothing. Now let anybody be a minister these days. We're talking about people like Stephanas and his household that you all know that do the work. Those that need help. Those that need you to get out of the way occasionally. Paul says, and this is what makes it inclusive, and to everyone that helpeth us. If they're helping the apostles, then you ought to be helping them wherever they need it. If they're helping us spread the gospel all around the region of Macedonia and Achaia and Asia, if we're here and they're helping us and they say, hey, we're helping Paul, come help. Oh, no, God called me to help somebody else. That don't work. Don't work. That last phrase, for they laboreth. They work. Folks, there's a general rule that ministers don't work. I even joke about it. I only work 3 hours a week. An hour on Sunday morning, an hour on Sunday night, an hour on Wednesday. But when I preach an hour, y'all get all bent out of shape. I'm like just trying to get my time in, just trying to punch the clock. But there's this idea that ministers don't labor. And I'll be honest with you. Ministers have earned that reputation by not doing what they're supposed to. Most ministers are not like Stephanus. Most ministers are not doing this. Most ministers do live at the golf course. Most ministers do spend their time on the lake. Most ministers do spend their time away from their congregation. But Paul says those that are laboring, those that are working, those that are doing what they're supposed to be doing, you ought to submit to them and help them. Why? They are sending the direction for you to go in. I know that you're all smart. I know that you all already know everything. But listen, God gave you ministers to help point you in the right direction. There's not one person outside of Christ that ever walked on the face of the earth that God didn't send someone to minister to them. Whether it was instruction, whether it was service, you need it. And if you think you don't need it, it just reveals how badly you really do need it. You need to be ministered to, and you need to minister to others. The Lord refers to His people as sheep. They don't do well by themselves. They do best in a flock. They thrive under a shepherd. You think you don't need the teaching and instruction and care and service of other Christians? It only reveals what an immature Christian you are. That's all it reveals. Direction from ministers is a necessity. It's something that we all need, and none of us are above it, outgrow it, or will ever get to a point where we no longer need it. Paul gives instruction here. People who are like Stephanus, people that you all know, people that are diligent, people that help us, people that labor, submit to them. Do what they ask you to do. They're doing it for your benefit. Does that make sense? Look at verse 17 with me. I want to talk about the devotion of ministers. I am glad of the coming of Stephanus and Fortunatus and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. That which was lacking on your part. Now, who is Fortunus? Who is Achaicus? Truth is, this is the only place in Scripture they're ever mentioned. We don't know who they were. We don't know what they did in the church. We don't have any record that they were ever a pastor, a teacher, a preacher. We know a little bit about Stephanus. Paul said that he baptized his family. Paul, and that was in chapter 1, verse 16. Paul said that he was the first fruits of Achaia. Achaia is a region. A lot of people believe that Stephanus was the Philippian jailer, the first person to be baptized after Paul came into Achaia. We know that after Paul died, Clement of Rome, an early church preacher, sent Stephanus with a letter back to Corinth. Long after Paul's death, Stephanus was still alive. He was an old man. This Stephanus we know a little bit about. These other two men, don't know. Here's what we do know. These three men supplied Paul with what was lacking from the church. Let's deal with that. Some commentators, not many, but a few said these guys brought money to Paul because he didn't have any. Paul was broke and they showed up and said, here, Paul, here's your 100. Here's a couple 20s. Get you some food. I don't think that's what was lacking. What was lacking is what was at the church at Corinth. What was at the church at Corinth? Discord. Everybody was divided against themselves. Division. Everybody was picking their favorite preacher. Chaos. Everybody was trying to speak in tongues all at the same time. What did they send Paul? They sent Paul a letter from the church. Paul read the letter from them. He said, is all this really going on? And these men supplied what was lacking. They filled in the blanks. We live in such a non-communicational age, don't we? Nobody wants to talk anymore. Salesmen don't sell anymore. Nobody communicates anymore. Nobody wants any interaction with anyone else. We need you. We'll text you. We'll email you. Phone rings. Oh, don't want to answer that. We don't want to communicate. But you notice something when you get a text message and an email, it's hard to read that the way they wrote that. It's hard to tell whether they're mad or questioning or puzzled. It's hard to tell. Well, but when someone talks, you know what you have the benefit of? How soft or how loud their voice is. You had the benefit of their facial expressions, if they're smiling in between each phrase, or if they're straight-faced in between each phrase. You see, folks, Paul was reading a list of questions from the Corinthians. What was happening here is these three men who were recognized as ministers in the church, who served the church, were there to say, yeah, there's actually people saying they follow Paul, and there's other people over here saying they do follow Apollos. Yes, it's true. When the church service opens, there's 20 people that want to sing a special. Yes, it's true. When the preacher starts to preach, there's people that want to preach in other languages all at the same time. What Paul is saying here is that these men are able to accurately tell me what's going on in the church. But what's lacking is instruction in the church. Paul said these men are also capable of fixing what's wrong with the church. That's the end of verse 18. In the middle of verse 18, they refresh my spirit and yours. Paul said they're coming back and they're going to fix what's lacking in the church. Do you realize that's what ministers do? Not just preachers, not just deacons. They do what's lacking. What it is. People who don't want a minister, who just want the title of minister, never want to do the dirty jobs. They never do. If you ever need somebody to preach, just let me know. I preach. We need toilet bowl cleaners. I got bad hands. I mean, really, that's the kind of responses you get. It is. But true ministers, what are they doing? They're supplying what's lacking in the church. They're doing what others either are not able to do, or not gifted to do, or don't have the time to do, or don't have the patience to do, or don't have the... whatever it is, they do it. Paul here says, and he says, these men, he's thankful for, he's glad they're there, because they supplied what was lacking on the church's part. Paul recognized these people as those that do what no one else in the church wanted to do. He wants to take this letter to Paul where we tell him we don't really think he's an apostle. Anybody want to bear that news? Hey, Paul, I come from a church and they don't think God really called you. Here's a letter signed by the deacons. You know, that was probably followed up in the Greek with a phrase like this: don't kill the messenger. But these men took it. Why did they take it? Because, number one, they knew Paul. Number one, everybody knew what gifted men they were, what servant men they were. And when they arrived with this kind of message for Paul, Paul recognized them as the people that are needed to put the church back in order in Corinth. They're able to supply what's lacking. That's what ministers do. They don't just preach. The goal of a preacher is to supply for you what is lacking. I know you think you got it all put together and you don't need anything, but in all honesty, you're not complete. I know you think you know everything there is to know about the Bible, but in all honesty, you don't. Nor do I. That's why we need instruction. We as a church need not just a preacher, ministers. People to do all the different things around the church to accomplish, so the church accomplishes the task. So that brings us to verse 18. Duty toward a minister. If a minister is diligent, if a minister is pointing the church and enabling the church to go in the right direction, if a minister is devoted to filling and picking up the pieces and filling in the blanks and doing all that's necessary in a church, the church has a duty toward that minister. They have an obligation toward that minister. What Paul talks about. He says, "For they have refreshed my spirit and yours, therefore acknowledge ye them that are such." These ministers, in ministering to the church at Corinth, actually ministered to Paul. That's how ministry works. It's funny how when you minister to people, God takes your ministry and ministers to other people through your ministry. I could give you a lot of examples about that, but it would be embarrassing to some people. Give you a lot of examples about that, but kind of take the shine off things. A lot of people have blessed other people, don't want anybody to know it. Let me look at these people here in verse 18. Paul says, "They refreshed my spirit and yours." How'd they refresh Paul's spirit? Paul had confidence that these three men were able to take his message back and see that it was implemented. Paul had confidence that these three men were able to take this message back and see that it was spread around. Paul had confidence in these three men that they could take what he had recommended for the church and see it put into practice. Paul had some confidence in them. Why? Because they were willing to take the message of the church and the problems of the church to Paul and seek correction. What's the first step in getting rid of your problem? Identifying that you have a problem and talking to someone about how to get out of it. These three men knew that a letter needed to be sent to Paul, and they were willing to take it down there, and they knew that Paul would have the answer. And when Paul heard this and saw this, you know what he said? They want to be helped. They want to see the church fixed. They want to see it back to the way it should be. Folks, I preach to people all the time that don't want to hear the message. They don't want to hear about the Bible. They don't want to hear about Jesus. They don't want to hear about the gospel. They don't want to hear about any of these things. You know what's refreshing? When somebody does. When somebody really does. When you're preaching the gospel and they're like, "Oh, that answered so many questions for me. Hey, I'm encouraged. I'm refreshed." Somebody got answers out of that message. Somebody got instruction out of that. Somebody was encouraged. Paul said, "They encouraged me." And guess what? They encourage you as well. They encourage you. So if a preacher is doing the job of ministering to other people, what do we owe him? A kick in the pants? Lord, you keep him humble, we'll keep him poor. That's been around a long time. Although I found every true godly minister was well taken care of. What does he say? "Therefore acknowledge them that are such." It means to recognize them. It doesn't mean that you pay them. It means that you recognize their service. You appreciate their service. You tell others about their service. You acknowledge them as ministers. You recognize them as worthy of your submission. If they need a hand doing their job, if they need you to get out of their way, whatever it is you can do to help these people, to recognize these people, to encourage these people, do it. Being broad here because Paul's being broad here. Whatever these men and other men like them that help us, that work in the church, recognize them as that. You know, one of the saddest things you'll see in church? Somebody does all the work and doesn't get any appreciation. Somebody does all the work and doesn't get any appreciation. They quietly go about their business. A lot of people that do all the work don't want any recognition. But let's be honest. If they're ministering to us, they deserve our recognition. If they're serving us, the least we can do is say, "Thank you for what you do for us." Now, folks, I'm going to be honest with you. at Lee Creek, I've got more attaboys, pats on the backs, thank yous. I get more gifts. I get more cards. I get more love. That ain't an issue with the pastor. Y'all love me to death. And I love you too. But I ain't the only minister at Lee Creek. I ain't the only person that does anything around here. There are others. If you look real close at what they're doing, you'll find something wrong with it. If you look real close at what I'm doing, you'll find something wrong with what I'm doing. But if you recognize that it's your duty to encourage, to support, to recognize those that labor in the church around you, you ought to do that. You ought to do that. Now, a lot of times, I'll tell you, when we have a potluck dinner, when y'all get over there, you thank the ladies for getting everything ready. But you know, truth be told, I shouldn't have to tell you all. Go over there and tell them thank you. Truth be told, we all should be telling them thank you every time we go over there. Ron does a wonderful job leading our singing. You should tell him that. It's hard to do what Ron does. You start off a song without any music. Carry it out to the end. Shouldn't have to tell you, hey, y'all go tell Ron he's doing a good job. We should recognize it as such. Why? Because it's our duty to do so. Now, how do you wrap up a message on a duty toward ministers? What's the application of all this? I've been pretty practical thus far. I want to tell you the application of this. If you don't have an appreciation for ministers, you've got an overinflated view of yourself. Seriously. You can't appreciate what the people around you are doing. It's because you don't think you need them and you don't appreciate them. If you don't have an appreciation for those that work around you, not just have a high view of yourself, you have a low view of God. How is that, preacher? How is it that if we don't appreciate other people, we have a low view of God? God promised to give us ministers for our betterment. You don't appreciate what God's given you, I'd say you have a low view of God's gifts. Think about that. Preachers were given to the church for the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. Yet in our day, we have tons of so-called Christians don't ever go to church, don't think they need a preacher, don't think they need a teacher. They think they know it all. You know what I think about that person? They have an overinflated view of themselves and they have an underinflated view of God. You know why? God said, this is what you need. I know what you need. I designed you. I know what sin did to your nature. I know what the solution is. And I've ordained that I'm going to send pastors, preachers, and teachers so that you get better. Oh, God, I got it all by myself. I'm doing fine. I don't need anybody else to minister to me. You know what that is? That is the pride of man in your life. You know what the first thing you wanted to do as a kid? You want to do it all by yourself without anybody else's help. You ever argue with a little kid before? I can do it. I can do it. I can do it. No, you can't. You're spilling it all over the counter. No, I can do it. I can do it. You don't recognize ministers. You don't see their value. You don't see their need. You're as foolish as a little kid trying to pour Kool-Aid in front of God. God said you do need ministers. That's why I have sent them to minister to you. You know what else it means? If God has sent someone to minister to you, and you know that, I know, Lord, I know I need teachers, I know I need ministers, I know I need people to help me along, to give me direction, to be devoted to me, to be diligent in serving and preparing me for the ministry. It also ought to lead you to want to serve God more. Not out of, I want to do it by myself, but out of gratitude for how God has graciously given ministers to you in all these areas of your life to help you along, it ought to lead you to want to serve God more. Now, how are you going to serve God? What are you going to do? Go out in the backyard and kill a chicken? Sacrifice doesn't impress God. We've already got a supreme sacrifice. The man, Christ Jesus, died on the cross. God's not satisfied with the blood of bulls and goats. You going to wear a cross around your neck? God's not impressed with your trinkets. How are you going to serve God? You're going to have to serve others. Whatever you did unto the least of these brothers of mine, you did unto me. You know what that means? you're going to have to find yourself a place of ministry as well. Well, preacher, I can't preach. I ain't talking about preaching. Preacher, I can't be a deacon. I ain't talking about being a deacon. There's about 6 million things that need to be done in ministering and working and serving and encouraging other people. If you recognize and are mindful of ministers, you ought to realize that you ought to be ministering to someone else. Amen or oh me. When I read a passage like this, you know what it does to me? I'm like, man, I'm so lazy. I'm not doing my job. I tell you what, I don't minister like I should. I look at what Stephanias is doing. I look at these other men. They took off their job. They quit work. They left their wife and kids at home. They got a letter from the church at Corinth. And they traveled by land and sea to Ephesus. You know why? So the church could get some instruction so things would be right at church. Tell you what, in America today, we're put out. We have to go to church twice on a Sunday. We're put out if Bible study doesn't accommodate our time frame. We're put out if the church is doing anything other than just the basic minimum. And I look at these three guys that said, bye kids, bye wife, I'll be back sometime. Hold the fort down, pay the bills, keep everything together. Well, where are you going? I got to go get answers for the church. When I look at what these men did and how they traveled to Paul and how they took these questions there, how they honestly answered them, and I look at what Paul gave them back and I see them turning around and going back to Corinth with this letter in their hand, handwritten by Paul, and they go before the church and they read Paul's statements and the church says, wait a minute, I don't like that. These men said, we heard him say it, we read it, we questioned him, and here's his answers, and they stood on this letter and instructed the church. I think, man, I haven't hardly ministered to anybody. I hardly did anything. What these three guys did, and two of them, we don't know anything about. Common, ordinary, average Joes. A ministering church is going to look totally different than what you see in America today. My last thought. You know what we think a ministering church is in America today? They have a food bank. They give out groceries. They gave out 1,800 boxes of cereal last month. They're a ministering church. Not what a ministering church is. A ministering church is people within a body working and serving other people in that body. Charity begins at the household of faith first. One thing to pass out food to people on the street. It's one thing to go down under the bridge and give out pizzas to homeless people. You know what real ministry is? That person that's sitting about three seats down from you in the same pew, being responsible for encouraging that person and pointing them in a direction of serving Jesus Christ. You know what ministering is? It's allowing someone else to serve you and to minister to you and to encourage you and instruct you and you be committed to them and them being committed to you. That's what ministry looks like. And these three men loved the church at Corinth so much that they left their families, they traveled to Ephesus, they went to a place where Christians were not popular, they stuck their neck out just to get answers, to go back to Corinth to straighten out the church and to minister to them. That encouraged Paul. That encouraged me. I hope it encourages you. Ministry is not some organized thing that you do. Ministry is serving someone else. You ought to be served, and you ought to be serving. You say, well, Brother Harold, what do you need? Where's the sign-up sheet? I'll put my name on it. I'll write myself in for Tuesdays and Thursdays. Boy, we love that, don't we? I'm on the so-and-so board. It's not about being on the board. Not about being responsible for this or that. Not about having a title or being on a committee. Serving. Ministering. I say be mindful of ministers. I mean we ought to recognize those that are such. And we ought to recognize the responsibility lies with us as well. Now you look around. You find a place where you can minister. Hey, I'm glad I got other people ministering in this church. You think you want me making the flower arrangements for up front? You want me to put together flower arrangements? Can't do that. Somebody saw a need, did that, put it together. Looks good, don't it? There's other things need to be done. Look around. See it. Get involved. Do it. That puts the responsibility not on the church to organize some program. Puts the responsibility on you as a Christian. Be willing and attentive to those that are serving. Help them if you can. Get out of their way if you need to. And be ready to minister, you fellow man. I pray you do that. You know why? It'll demonstrate your need for Christ. And it'll demonstrate how much you appreciate Him for sending ministers to minister to you.